Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Boxingvoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio, hashtag TBV Podcast. We're back, and on this episode, we're going to be discussing Vasyl Lomachenko versus Guillermo Rigondeaux, an offer made from Vasyl to Rigondeaux, a winner-take-all bet. So we want to discuss this. We want to discuss two world-class fighters, two elite-level fighters actually fighting for one purse. Is this something that could actually be possible, or is this just a bogus offer to intimidate the fighter that doesn't get that television time, that isn't in the, you know, as active and cannot afford to take a fight with essentially one purse? We will get into detail. Obviously, I want to get my co-host's thoughts and see where his mind is at with all this. So let's head on out to the Golden State.
Dalla DiBiase production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck that. Conor McGregor.
BoxingVoice.com.
You know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knockout now. The main thing is, I just want the guy. I wish.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yes, the hipsters here. Haters beware. And Vasyl Lomachenko versus Guillermo Rigondeaux. As a boxing fan, I think we can all agree that that fight presents probably the two best technical boxers on the planet going against each other. Potentially. You know, regardless of weight, and I know I have to be a little bit consistent here and say that it's hard for Guillermo Rigondeaux to say that he can move up two weight classes and fight the champion there. I understand the history. I understand that they used to be either in the same weight class or one weight class apart. I understand that. But right now, they're two weight classes apart, and we've sort of denounced champions for doing that in the past, a la Canelo, a la Triple G. So there's a layer of consistency, I think, that we all need to have. But Rigondeaux is not Kell Brook. Rigondeaux is not Amir Khan. Rigondeaux is one of, if not the best amateur boxer of all time. You can make that argument. Same with Lomachenko. And the fact that we have two of them probably in their prime right now, or at least still in it in terms of Rigondeaux being a little bit older and in the tooth, I would say. This fight sort of needs to happen, in my opinion. One, it's a good sign of just this cold war, this bitterness between promoters and managers needing to be over, because the fans seem to want this fight. The fans seem to not care about the weight classes. The fans seem to believe that this fight equals a lot for the sport in a way. This fight is meaningful and impactful. It really is. And if it doesn't happen, that'd be disappointing.
You're absolutely right. I mean, can you imagine if it actually happened this year? Remember, Rigondeaux's hashtag is Rigo Loma 2017. And I just want to point everyone in the direction of our thumbnail that we're displaying. If you're watching this on YouTube, and if you are, you need to be hitting that thumbs up. I found these Instagram post to be quite creative and entertaining. Obviously, Rigondeaux has hired someone or has given them the authority to post for him creatively, coming up with beautiful illustrations They have taken the comic sort of comic bubble theme, comic strip theme, you know, in your Sunday paper, kind of, you know, Marvel comics as well. Now, this particular picture is a picture of Matt Damon. I want to say it's maybe from Jason Bourne. And yes, that is Jason Bourne. That is Jason Bourne. And I forget what's this other guy's name, but he's definitely, you know, from the other side, right? That is holding all the information that Bourne was seeking at whatever time, right? So it has a couple of comic bubbles, and one says, "What is the code for ducking?" Then another, coming from the character of Matt Damon, says, "Tell me, what is the phrase code for ducking?" So then the guy who's, you know, being hemmed up by Matt Damon, he's kind of being dangled off the ledge of a building. He's like, "Okay, okay, don't kill me, please." It is winner takes all. Now, what that means to me is, it's kind of self-explanatory, Matt. It's like, basically, you're telling me, let's have a fight where the winner take all, it's because you don't actually want to face me. Basically, making an offer that you feel Rigondeaux is going to refuse, something that has probably never been seen in boxing. I'm not a historian. Can you recall of anything where one fighter, you know, won both purses?
No, obviously there's cases in history where those bets have sort of been made, and usually they're backtracked. Usually their manager, their handlers, their promoters will go back in the back room and go, "Look, this is a bad idea. Like, you want guaranteed money. I don't even think fighters should do this. I don't think fighters should have to bet their whole purse to get fights. The fight is a great fight on paper. The fight would be big, regardless of what anyone wants to say. This is potentially the biggest fight for either gentleman, I would say, especially for Rigondeaux. Rigondeaux, this is the biggest fight of his career. There's no way you want to risk that sort of paycheck. And again, Rigondeaux has and his team have always stated that there have been no formal negotiations yet. This has all been on social media, with Igor Klimas, the manager of Vasily Lomachenko, really being the voice for Lomachenko and Team Lomachenko, going back and forth with Rigo on Twitter and Instagram. There's been no negotiations that I know of, right?
No, I mean, but, you know, this is the day and age of social media, and fights do get made in social media. Fights actually happen social media. We've actually had fights streamed on social media. And Carlos Molina, who we've forgotten, 154-pound ex-IBF champion, who, you know, was deported back to or extradited back to Mexico, he's actually going to be fighting on social media on, like, YouTube, Instagram and Facebook all live. So yeah, man, I mean, this is the day and age where we do have to take these things seriously. And you know, I think that that's what Rigo's doing. He's getting out in front of the possible monkey wrenches that will come in the negotiation table behind closed doors. So he's bringing it to light now in front of the fans, you know.
And I also gotta say that, you know, saying that, "Hey, let's bet the purses," automatically for casuals makes you look like the A-side, makes you look like the guy, right? It makes Loma look like the guy in charge and the confident one, because he's saying, "Let's bet all the purses," right? Same with Canelo and Chavez. So Rigondeaux going hard on social media after that statement and literally posting, what, 4 or 5 different IG posts and memes.
All great. We need to definitely go to his Instagram and show some of
the idea that you want to outnumber or out-volume the content you're putting out there for the public and to control the public narrative. This is PR 101. Make your message heard more often than the others. And that's what he did. This is going, not viral in a sense, but a little bit boxing viral. Like, I saw retweets of this. I saw reposts of this on Instagram.
People obviously doing reports on it for sure.
And they're doing more off of Rigondeaux's IG posts than Klimas's quote about betting all the purses, or Lomachenko's quote about betting all the purses.
Yeah, I would say. I'm going to go now to Rigondeaux's official Instagram verified, right? Is it verified? It's not verified. Man, he only has 132,000 followers. You know that Mikey Garcia has 130 and Broner has over 650,000.
That's so not surprising.
Huh?
That's not surprising.
That is interesting to know. Let's go to this one, which is the picture of Lomachenko, which Lomachenko himself posted on his own Instagram a couple of days ago after sparring 15 rounds. They said, this is the face you make after sparring 15 rounds. Something about water. And obviously, Team Regandow very creatively reposted the picture with their own comic strips. Some of them. And I'll just go to the – now, please, if you have the time, come to the YouTube channel so you can you know, do this with us side by side. And it's a little easier so you can get the image visually, as well as, you know, through our words, hopefully. So we're looking at, again, a picture of Regandow, I mean, of Lomachenko. He's obviously, you know, exhausted, eyes closed, mouth wide open, being drenched in water after those 15 rounds. But the way that Team Regandow creatively used the picture, it almost looks like Lomachenko could be crying, yelling out, pouting in frustration. So the comic bubbles that are attached to the new picture is, I don't want to fight him. I love Rigo, I swear. He says, please, Bob, make him stop tweeting, please. And then the last one says, you told me no one would listen to him, that Chino would take care of that for us. Now, the actual description says, the fact that they do not want to fight me must be very clear to all by now. He dared me to winner take all. That sounds like BS to me. Not on this earth. And hashtag not afraid. Now, Matt, you told me no one would listen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel people are listening?
Yes and no.
If you're Bob Arum, are people listening to this?
See, the thing is that because these guys aren't necessarily the biggest stars, that they're within this hardcore boxing bubble, I would say that the public pressure on Bob Arum is not high enough for him to make this fight yet. That's just, I'm just being honest about it. The pressure on Bob to make the Pacquiao-Floyd fight for 6-8 years was huge pressure, and he never succumbed to that until 6 years down the line. I mean, you have to put that in perspective and in ratio here. The amount of people on social media adding Top Rank, saying you got to make this fight, has to be significantly less than some other fights that he's been pressured to make. But again, I think like Rigo has to get this fight. Rigo, and if I'm Rigo and I'm his team, that is the biggest fight. And there's no one else in his division that can equal that sort of payday, that exposure, and that recognition if you beat him. Beating Jesse Magdaleno doesn't get you the respect that beating Lomachenko does. Let's just be honest. And Jesse Magdaleno is the biggest name in that division right now, other than Regandow. And let's be honest, he also equals, what, a fifth of the payday? A fourth, at least? I mean, let's be honest here. So I understand Rigo going all out on this fight and trying to get it, but I also understand Lomachenko and his team not wanting it, A, and not being pressured into it yet.
It was interesting. See, I follow all this social media. I do it so that you don't have to. And I mean, our listeners, so that they don't have to, right? Not too long ago, maybe a week ago or so, it could be found, on Twitter, Regandow was very vocal on how he felt. I don't know if you can pick that up. Landscapers are here. Are they? Can you hear that? Anyway,
from your house?
No way. Next door, but
I can hear a little bit.
Okay, so yeah, Regandow had like a verbal argument with a reporter by the name of Steve Kim, And it was, he's basically calling fake news and stuff like that. What's Rigondeaux's narrative, Matt? Help me here. When it comes to Kim, like, he basically feels Kim is pro Top Rank bias, right?
Yeah. I mean, regardless of Steve Kim's A, writing ability, and B, journalistic ability, I should say,
not your opinion of him. I mean, more.
But no, I'm saying, like, what the public perception is. There's a public perception. No,
not public, just Rigo's perception. Rigo has an attack on this, because this phrase Chino in the last Instagram post, it's directed to Steve Kim, because Steve Kim is an Asian reporter in the boxing media. So when he says, "Bob, you told us Chino would save us or help us or whatever," you know, he means right. Obviously, bad things about Rigondeaux. And you can check that on the Twitter, you know, whatever, that he and Kim and others had, you know.
Again, I think the public perception of Kim is also the same perception that Rigo has. Am I wrong? Or do you think I'm wrong in that assertion?
I don't know. I mean,
what's the difference?
I mean, look, it's hard to say that when you got a guy like Steve Kim that, you know, writes a lot for, you know, a lot about Top Rank fights and Tom Lawther K2 fights. And obviously he does a lot of Golden Boy because he's even commentating over this. So I can't really say that Rigo is 100% accurate, but again, I'm not Rigo.
I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying the public perception, the negative perception of Steve Kim and the negative perception Rigondeaux has is the same. Not that it's correct. I'm just saying that perception is the same.
Okay. Well, I want to go to this other Instagram post. I mean, should you take this one? Because you're a heavy Game of Thrones fan, and I'm sure you found this one interesting.
Yeah, I'll say it. Obviously, you have, you know, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you know that these two guys are like the big behind-the-scenes players. Like, they're the Al Haymans of Game of Thrones. Littlefinger saying, "What are your birds saying about Rigo versus Loma? Lord Bob is protecting his precious warrior, no doubt." And then Littlefinger comes back and says, "The realm of boxing deserved better than that." And then Varys comes back and says, "No doubt, Lord Baelish, no doubt. # Rigo Loma 2017. I thought that was pretty good. I mean, obviously, it's a huge Game of Thrones reference, and Game of Thrones is seen by over 100 million people every week. So that's good. I like that. That's topical.
Yes. Very intelligent. Again, why? This is why I think that they're hiring someone, because they're using trending.
He has to. You know? There's no way Rigondeaux knows all of these references.
So the description says, "Who are they fooling? Not me. # not afraid." But there's more. Let's go, because there's more. Okay, not that way. We got to go the other way. Mm-mm-mm-mm. We did that one. And we showed you the Matt Damon one. This is another one. Let's bring back our Game of Thrones expert.
So this is the famous scene where, like, Tyrion is sentenced to death, basically.
Because of Cersei, right?
Yeah. Because they think he killed her kid.
Yeah, this is before the battle.
Yeah. They have the photoshopped head of Rigondeaux on Tyrion, who happens to be a little person. So when he calls him an imp later, you understand why. Rigondeaux in the box says, "I demand a trial by combat, and I will be my own champion." And then you have the Photoshop head of Aegis Clemos, the manager of Lomachenko, in the box saying, "We were hoping for Mariaga to be your champion, imp." And then he said, "Welcome to the game of ducking. # not afraid." Man, that's good. I like that. That's pretty good. And you got to stick it to Clemos, because Clemos is really the guy talking, not Loma.
I like the welcome to game. I like the welcome to # game of ducking. # not afraid.
Game of ducking.
That is amazing. He's really doing his thing. I don't care
if it's him or not.
If it's him, it's obviously his team, and he's giving authority. It's serving its purpose. I think they're doing the right thing by keeping the public informed, because I'll tell you one thing, the YouTube community definitely reported on that immediately. And obviously Boxing Scene, which is, you know, the go-to boxing news website, not named ESPN, right? Because ESPN deals with multiple sports. Boxing Scene is just for that. But I think it's time we go out to these phone calls and get a word from the streets, see how they're thinking about this one.
Especially since you're a busy man. You got somewhere to go later.
Oh, yes, I do. I do. Let me get the actual tweet because I'm horrible at this stuff.
Big Ness going big time, you know?
Well, I wouldn't say big time. This is
leaving me behind.
This is, well, you're over there. I told you, relocate. Yo, this would be my second time in the Sirius XM boxing studio, but this time it won't be with the Ock and Hitch or Ock and Barack radio show. It'll be with Sirius XM Boxing, and that is hosted by Jerry Cooney, the former heavyweight, I believe, and Randy Gordon. So I'll be there. The great part about this, and I feel so honored. Hopefully they don't get upset, right? But I'm going to be at a round table discussing some boxers with Steve Farhood, Michael Coppinger, my boy Michael Woods.
Good old Mike.
I don't know. I guess he's verified, but I don't even know who this guy is. Bryn Jonathan? Never heard.
I have no idea who that is, to be honest.
I'll find out and let you guys know on the way back. But yeah, he's going to be there. And yeah, that'll be cool, you know? Get to be on Sirius.
XM 93, right?
I want to say yes. Let me go to there. It says it's on Mondays and Fridays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And the call-in number is 844-796-7874. It's Sirius XM Rush. Yes, Rush 93. You were right. You're always right.
I listen to that sometimes.
Oh, do you?
Not that show, but I do listen to that channel sometimes, yes.
Oh, do you?
Does Sirius XM have LA studios or just New York?
I don't know. You know, I never really done any research. I was thinking that today maybe I should see when I drop that Adrian Broner interview discussing Mikey, because I wonder if that's why they brought me on, since Adrian Broner kind of got a little, you know, radical in that video and it made some, you know, some headway. And then that fight actually happened, so I ended up being right. And pretty much all the realists that watched that understood, you know, that he was not on the pound-for-pound list. So I don't know. I thought maybe that would be it. So I need to have that date. I'll probably check it on the ride. But anyway, let me get to the sponsors, and then we'll get to the callers. You know, the number 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 if you want to voice your opinion here with me and Matt on the Voice of the People hotline. Also, you can call us absolutely free internationally by adding Nesta Gibbs on Skype, NestorGibbs.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at ElCaminoElectricalServices.com.
Going out to New Jersey, I mean, talk to us.
You know, Regal and Lomo, if it even happens, I don't see it happen anytime soon, because I think it's a matter of Bob really not trying to give Regal a shot. The fight would make sense. I think Regal would damn near have to walk around with, you know what I mean, not almost say walk around, but I mean, like, he could fight at his walk around weight. I think him and Lomo, you know, they could find some sort of middle ground. It'd probably be at 126 or something, because I don't see Lomo, if he's trying to go up, I don't think Lomo can even go up higher than 130, maybe 135. So Regal, you know, what is Regal fighting at, 122 right now?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, they meet at 126, something cute like that. But, again, I don't see Bob trying to really cut Regal no check. And if it so happens to work out, then all hell, it'll be a great fight. A winner-take-all proposition, you know, maybe they threw that out there because they figured somebody besides Bob or somebody with Bob could bring something more to the table, so where Bob don't feel like he got to pick up the burden of the money, you know. So I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Great show, good topic, and Jerry Clooney. I think that's the Jersey Connect. Ness, look into that. I think he's from like Hoboken or something.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I definitely looked up Jerry Clooney. He's got a, like a highlight reel and everything from a bunch of knockouts, right? I think he was like a heavyweight. But I mean, I want to
he fought Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I want to get to some other calls because I do got to head out. But thanks for calling in, Matt. Before I go to someone else, I actually wanted to say, do you think that it would be smart of Bob to make this fight with Lomachenko, which would obviously put Lomachenko at a catchweight moving up in a weight he's not comfortable in, giving his fighter some sort of advantage instead of kind of leaving this fight to just fall, you know, in the headlines and then eventually Magdaleno having to fight Rigondeaux and lose another title to Rigo?
Well, I'm going to answer your question with a question. Why would Bob care about what happens with Rigondeaux? Like, Bob Arum's going to care about what happens
with Rigondeaux. What happens with Magdaleno? If Loma doesn't fight Rigondeaux, then Magdaleno's going to have to fight him because that's his division. He's got the WBO.
Magdaleno already has a fight scheduled, so you can always curt that one at least another year or two and have Magdaleno face other guys in the division, like Sayar, Ray Vargas, guys like that. I think Bob Arum's going to keep Lomachenko away from Rigondeaux, just like Amin said. I think that's probably the smart move money-wise as well. I mean, Lomachenko has options. Rigondeaux doesn't. Let's just be honest. Lomachenko has options at 130, and Lomachenko can go up to 135 and fight Mikey Garcia for big money, for God's sake. You can fight Linares for big money. Those fights are possible, and those fights are lucrative just as much, if not more, as the Rigondeaux one. Case in point, Javante Davis.
I wouldn't mind Magdaleno and Rigo. Magdaleno for years, since like at least, man, early 2015, has been wanting a shot at Rigo. Not that he felt he deserved one, but he's always wanted to fight him, that's for sure. Let me get out to some calls, wrap this up. Marcus in D.C., talk to us.
Yo, congratulations. I'm about to be the Lord Seer and Rude Jew, the boxer on XM, my man Ness. Yo, check this out. Yeah, Clooney was a former heavyweight champion. He got knocked out by Larry Holmes. They was touting him as a great white hype. I think he got knocked out in the 13th round. Had a couple of early knockouts against some former champs. Had a devastating knockout against Ken Norton, if you remember that highlight. He hit him with all left hands. He has no right hand at all. But a pretty big, imposing dude, pretty knowledgeable about boxing. I think he is from that Jersey kind of Long Island area in New York somewhere, one of those two. Look, Bob is staying away from this fight because he made Rigondeaux out to be a pariah. Nobody wants to see him. He loses money on his fights. So if anybody knows anything about promoting, for you to give the champion, for you to give a challenger a shot at your champion, you usually get co-promotional rights for the next couple of fights on Rigondeaux, which Rigondeaux could be being adamant about, which Bob is like maybe has no interest in co-promoting his next couple of fights because he feels like he'll lose money. So maybe Bob, through agents, is saying, all right, tell him all or nothing to keep him away from us because what would I do in case he wins? You know, one, I lose a more marketable fighter with Lomachenko. This guy has such an axe to bury with us. Who knows how he'll train to come in to fight against Lomachenko? And then if he beats Lomachenko, what the hell am I going to do with him, regardless of whether he beats Lomachenko or not? I don't think the boxing public is wrapped around Rigondeaux as a star or even must-see TV. So I think it's more Bob trying to keep his slate clean with him, because like I said, he made him out to be such a horrible pariah. If y'all remember, for a couple of fights before he decided to try to start knocking people out, he was in Japan fighting in obscure cards on Thursday nights and Friday nights. You didn't wake up on Saturday morning and Rigondeaux already fought. So I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it. Good shit on the boxing thing. today, man. Get yourself a shameless plug while you're on there, man, about the Broner interview when he was trying to put Easter up against the Mikey Garcia. Mikey looking at him like, boy, I don't fight your little boys. Boy, I fight you. I holler at you. DC in the building, man. Boxing Voice, great show.
Marcus, thanks for calling in. Let's go out to the 951. You're live on TBV. First time caller?
First time caller. Long time wrestler. I've been watching you guys for a while.
Well, thank you, brother. That's amazing. We're glad you found us and you're glad you're watching. I want to go ahead and play this first time caller intro. You just give us your name and let us know where you're calling from.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Hey, this is Aztec 101. I'm calling from Anaheim.
Aztec, what's going on, brother? Talk to us. What do you think about this topic?
Man, I think it's a good fight. It's a good fight for boxing. It seems like they're selling the fight, though. Like, all this back and forth on Twitter and Instagram, there's a good chance that the fight might happen. I don't see, you know, Lomachenko fighting anybody without Heyman, so there's a good chance that Loma and Regal might happen, but they need to build it up. I want to see Regal and Magdaleno, to be honest, because that's in Regal's division. But they have to build this fight. Regal just doesn't have that kind of fan base. But I don't think anyone's ducking. I just think they're trying to cause controversy.
All right.
That's pretty much it. I mean, I just don't think that anyone's ducking. This could lead to a number one pound-for-pound spot. And if everyone's thinking of it like Regal's automatically going to win against whoever he fights, but he's getting older now. So if there's a time to take on Regal next couple of years before he retires.
Well, it makes perfect sense, man.
I think the fight's going to happen in the next few years.
Next few years. All right. Well, Aztec, thanks for calling in, brother from Anaheim. Matt, make sure you get that down. Aztec from Anaheim, we're going out to Gary in Dallas.
What's going on, fellas? It just seems hard to me. It seems hard for me to believe that, Rigondeaux can't get no fight. And now he's going to get the fight. They're going to put him in the ring with Lomachenko. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. He can't get any fight. But if he's going to move up to 130 to fight Loma, why can't they move him up to 126 to fight any of the featherweights? 126 is kind of a loaded division right now. And I know Matt knows this stuff. Oscar Valdez is with Top Rank, right? So why can't they make that fight?
Well, right now,
we go with Oscar Valdez. That would be.
There's a couple 126 pounders that used to be at 122 that have moved up to not. I wouldn't say literally duck Rigondeaux, but like guys like Carl Frampton, guys of that nature, Abner Mars, Leo Santa Cruz, they've all moved up from 122 to avoid Rigo, in my opinion. Other people may have different arguments, but that's my opinion. Guys like Oscar Valdez, who's been a career 126 pounder, I believe. What they are setting up is him versus Leo in LA. That's always been sort of the way I've perceived his track and where he's going to lead to, because that fight in LA is big.
Who?
Valdez and Leo Santa Cruz at 120. That's Valdez's big fight. It's not Rigo. It's Leo Santa Cruz.
Gary Russell Jr., right, if you put Rigo with Gary Russell Jr., the winner of that kind of makes practical sense, right? If Rigo fought Gary Russell Jr., the winner of that kind of makes sense to pick Loma, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a fantastic fight. Obviously, Gary Russell has been trying to get a Loma rematch as well. It would kind of make sense from that perspective. Like, the guys that want the Loma to fight the most, fight it, and the winner of that gets Lomachenko. I'm okay with that. Does Gary Russell take it, though? That's the question.
What about little JoJo? He's got to. I mean, no one else really wants to fight him.
Wait a minute. Gary, why are you shopping Rigo around to all these, second-tier fighters instead of putting him in there with the quote unquote best? Why does he need to? What is he? What does he need to prove?
He's not getting any of the fights. He's not. I mean, who would you?
So you're saying him fighting Joseph Diaz is going to get him a Loma fight? Joseph Diaz won't even take that fight. That would be Joseph Diaz's biggest fight of his career. Why would he take a Loma, a Rigo fight? No way, bro. Yo, the best got to fight the best.
You don't think so?
Who?
If Jojo Diaz beats him, he could call out Loma, and that would be a huge fight.
I hear you, Gary. That is your time, man. I would like to see Joseph Diaz call out Rigondeaux.
Very quickly, I don't think anyone's saying that those fights at 126 are bad. No one here, I don't think any callers, but we think they're unlikely. If Loma won't take the fight, and arguably he may be the best technical boxer right now, if he won't take the fight, why do you think Carl Frampton, Leo Santa Cruz, Abner Mares, Lee Selby, Oscar Valdez, why do you think those guys are going to take the fight? I'm just curious about somebody's answer to that.
Dude, it sounds like he was setting roadblocks. Like, he mentioned everybody except Loma, because he says, like, oh, well, Loma's not fighting. I mean, Rigo's not fighting, so I don't think a guy who's not fighting is going to get the fight. He should fight, and he mentions all these guys, and I just, why the roadblocks? Why the roadblocks? I don't get it. I mean, whatever. Donald, talk to me.
What's up? You know what? That's going to be – I don't think that they're going to put Rigondeaux with him because, you know, that's like Bob Arum's guy. And he knows that if Lomachenko loses that fight, like, that's going to be very hard for him to promote him after that. It's going to be kind of – everybody's going to look at it like, see, that's why you didn't want that fight, because you knew that this guy was going to lose and you knew that he wasn't all of what you was promoting him to do. And I don't think that he wants Rigondeaux to get that – publicity like that, because it doesn't, even though he's promoting him, it just seems like he's not really interested in making that fight. And also want to say that's a good move for you. I forgot what you said that show was because I was briefly listening, but it's a good move for you. And that guy, that's a heavyweight, his name was Jerry Cooney. He was a pretty good heavyweight until he lost to Larry Holmes by that knockout. But he had some good wins. He beat Jimmy Young. He beat Ken Norton. And his last fight was with George Foreman. George Foreman knocked him out the second round. He lost to Michael Spinks by a knockout, too. So, but the guy, he was a puncher, because I'm looking at his record right now. He says the guy had 28 wins with 24 knockouts and only had those three losses before he retired. His last fight was to George Foreman. He lost. But they need to give Rigondeaux something, because what is Rigondeaux? I think it's like 36 or 37 right now. I mean, with only 18 fights, I mean, how many fights do we think Rigondeaux is going to have by the time he retires? Like 25? He might not even reach 25 fights because it's so hard for him to get fights. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I don't feel sorry for him, Donald. I feel like they need to sign with Al Heyman. Sign with Al Heyman. You know, sign with Richard Schaefer. Richard Schaefer just signed Onito Donaire to that same division, promising to get him fights with Leo, Abner,
and
Lee Selsby. So, you know, sign with the people that could actually do something for your career is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? That's especially a guy like Rigo, who's already been around a block and sees what works and what doesn't.
I won't deny you.
Dollar D. Beyonce Productions.
Come with me. Hey, Mary, run quick, see what we have here now.
Boxingmoves.com. Everybody fighting.
Dollar D. Beyonce Productions.
Yes, sir. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
What up?
Just getting big mad. Hey, just getting out of work. Seeing you guys were on, jumped on. I see you guys are talking Loma Rigo. Hey, I just don't understand why everyone thinks top. Well, the majority, I should say, the majority of people just don't think top rank makes fights. I mean, we've seen they make fights. You got Crawford and Dongo, which is a big fight for boxing for the unification coming to this.
That's not a fight. That's a random rinky-dink promoter being swallowed by the bigger promoter so that the rinky-dink little fighter on the smaller promoter's fucking stable gets TV time. If Ondongo was with Golden Boy or Al or anybody, Eddie Hearn, that fight would have been a lot harder to make because he would have been something for someone on their roster, but you know, he's with nondescript people, man. Think about it, bro.
Both his fights,
he's going to other people's home country to either challenge or defend. Come on, bro. That's not a good promoter.
Okay, that's against his promoter. But Top Rank is giving Crawford, they're making that happen for Crawford to get those belts. See what I'm saying? I'm trying to give Top Rank credit.
But hold on.
His name doesn't sell.
Alex, you're comparing Crawford and Dongo to Loma Rigo in that situation. Let's all just agree that Ringendale is not fucking Ndongo. And I big up Ndongo every day because I picked him over Edward Tarnowski against anyone else. No one picked him. I picked him. And I will say that we cannot compare those two. That's a false equivalency. Of course, Top Rank has no issue making that fight. He's a non-threat. He's open. He's wide. Crawford is, again, one of the top three, top five pound-for-pound boxers right now.
Dude, this is how they blind people.
It's not the same thing.
No.
It's not.
I agree that.
Top Rank shocked the world. They bid for Arthur Betterbee versus some dude I can't even pronounce. Oh, my God. It's like, yo.
Loma's literally fighting Valdez Oscar Valdez at 126. Are we acting like that's okay?
I know that.
Are we acting like that's okay? Are we acting like Top Rank?
Hey, but that's,
is the savior of boxing because it's not even but, acting like they're the best promoter? No, they're just another promoter. They're just another one. They're all the same.
I got a point for you on that one. Check this out. You guys are just, what is it, 3 days ago, whatever, you guys are giving PBC credit for letting fighters with one losses come back and have fights still. Victor Ortiz, Fernando Guerrero. Yet, Top Rank does the same thing with Mariaga, and they're getting dissed.
That's not coming back. That's to get showcased.
Yo, he's getting a title shot after getting spanked in a division. Below.
On another title shot. It's obviously a showcase.
He's moving up, getting a title. Look, you know, first of all, we got to know who we're talking to. This is Alex Top Rank Lemon, B.
Yes, he is.
Oh my God. His they call him Lemon Aaron, man.
His godson is Jose Ramirez.
Hey, but one more. What about Loma Walters, though? When Top Rank made that fight, that was the axe, man. That was a good fight until it happened.
A good fight. How many months was Walters in Jamaica smoking ganja?
A lot.
Hey. I mean, hey, that's not against Top Rank again. That's against Walters.
It's not against Top Rank. Who are the ones seeking out the inactive fighter for it's their inside?
It's selective matchmaking. If you cannot see the selective matchmaking.
You're too old for this, man.
And again, I'm not saying that they're worse than other ones. They're just the same. That happened 6 years after. Don't bring that up. Sit down.
It doesn't even matter. They were trapped into a corner, dude. A waiter had to freaking leak evidence about a meeting. Come on. Are you serious? CBS executives had to get involved just so that fight could happen. Remember, it wasn't even about promoters anymore. It was fucking Les Moon. I shouldn't even know his name. I only know his name because that fight was so hard to make. And you're gonna try and give him credit? Jeez.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. I think we should change Alex's nickname from IG Master to Alex Mr. Top Rank Lemon.
No, his name's Todd DeBuff, man. Straight up Todd DeBluff or DeBuff. Now we can call him DeBluff. Instead of the buff. 770 Breezy in Atlanta. Talk to us.
I like this fight. This fight is real good. I just don't know how, like, legal to bet a purse if you're a fighter, can you even do that? Better purse? I mean, I just smell like bullshit coming from the Tenko side. I mean, the fighter body wants to sit.
Breezy, you cutting out, baby.
Why they can't like make this fight happen? Pay the fighters. I mean, make it in Vegas or something. Cause you're gonna bring money into the city. I mean, nobody's gonna lose money with this fight. Why do fighters have to bet their purse to make a good fight happen? I just don't get it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know who is against this fight. I mean, everybody wants to see this fight, you know. And this is a stripe on Lomachenko's
resume,
you know, belt to get a win over Rigo. And the other way around, I mean, come on, this guy's moving up two weight classes to fight two-time gold medalists, both of them gold medalists. I mean, make this fight happen. I don't know what's holding this fight up.
Yep. All right, brother. Well, Breezy, thanks for calling in. Man, he's absolutely right, man. I mean, it would be a shame if this fight only got made because Lomachenko made that offer, put up his purse. Like, it is true. Like, why do you have to, you know, put up your purse for a fight to be made? And what gives Lomachenko the certainty that because he's betting his purse, all of a sudden Bob would make the fight? Or is he just showing by accident that he is in charge and the promoter works for him? And if he really wants to make this fight, he can. But we're going to go to Lloyd. Talk to me.
Yo, Philip.
What's up, brother?
Yo, cool. How you doing?
All right. First time calling?
No, I called in last week.
Okay.
I called in last week. But the point that I want to make, I think the last couple of callers have been trying to kind of block the fight with Rigo. And I don't think it should be happening. The reason being is, if you look at Rigo's age, he's coming up to, what, 36, 37? So realistically, he doesn't have much time left. So I can see the reason why he's going down this route to try and get the Lomachenko fight. And the way that the boxing press are building up Lomachenko at the moment, they're building him up to be a superstar. And he is a good boxer, in my opinion. But the win against Walters, like you said, Walters was inactive before that fight was made. And, you know, he quit on the stool almost. And the Jason Sosa fight was a good fight. And I'll give it to him with that fight. But at the moment, I don't understand why these fighters don't want to fight each other. They just don't want to take the loss. But the way it is at the moment, when you see Lomachenko's record, he's already got a loss. So a second loss might, you know, be a detriment to his career. So I can see the reason why his promoters don't want to make the fight. And in my opinion, no fighter should have to really bet their purse to make a fight, because at the end of the day, they're in the boxing industry to make money. So I don't agree with this, having to bet your purse for a fight. I don't agree with it at all. It shouldn't happen.
I agree with you. It should not happen. I want to thank you, obviously, for calling in, Lloyd. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. We're going out to Scorsese. Talk to us.
Yeah, who better? So I saw something Lomachenko said, if you beat me again. He did that bullshit again. That Nicholas Walters style tactic, that if you beat me shit, I'll give you this. When did he bet a purse? What is that?
Well, he wants to do a winner take all.
I'd slap that dude. Get him the fuck out of here with that shit, man. It's like, you just try to give Salido $750,000. Put this shit on the table. HBO will buy that fight. Max Kellerman can't stop talking about it every time he sees either one of these dudes. It ain't even a damn fight I want. But this dude got to make stipulations to fight a dude two weight classes under him, 10 years older than him. Get him the fuck out of here, man. Damn, whack ass shit all the time. Protected ass fighter. Like y'all said, selective ass matchmaking. They knew Walters went down there doing shit, but they was watching. Picked him out of nowhere, let him beat up on him, and they gonna keep on feeding him these fucking ESPN opponents so he can keep on hop, skipping, and dance around him, saying, oh, look how fucking great he is. Ain't no damn.
Scorsese, you know, that's kind of our logic, right? Exactly what you said is exactly how I feel. But let's try and make sense of that. Let's say everything that you're saying is true. How is Bob Arum making money? It's not like Lomachenko selling tickets. It's not like these fights are on pay-per-view. So are you telling me that he's satisfied making the site fee money from HBO for whatever Lomachenko versus whoever HBO's willing to buy? Is there that much money?
Look, I'm not sure. All I know, the man getting paid hella money for the asses he can't put in the seats and for ratings that he really ain't doing at this point. And everybody's saying, look how good, look how popular, and it ain't true. The popular part ain't true. Is he a good fighter? Yeah. But they satisfied with what I can't make no sense of it. You can't make sense of boxing when it's bullshitting you. All you got to do is wait until it stops bullshitting you and talk about it while it is bullshitting you. I don't think we get no Linares. I don't think we get no Mikey Garcia. I don't see that shit happening. He can't control them. If he wanted opponents, him and Walters could have been fucking career opponents, Morales, Pacquiao type shit, Marquez Pacquiao type shit. Instead, they sit that man on the bench and said, here, let's fight the people he already beat. In the story, and shouldn't nobody be want to see this 122 pound to go to 130? He down there desperate because he won't throw no fucking punches, and everybody want to put the blame on. Look, tell Rico throw some fucking punches. He had HBO, and he think he get to sit in there and determine how he get to fight every fucking fighter. No, you fight the fight. If the dude ain't coming to you, you go make the damn action. If not, you ain't trying to be a fighter. Period, man. You ain't got the right to dictate game plans. You got to be a fighter. Rico don't want to throw punches. He don't buy want to see him. Fuck it. We move on. That's my call.
All right, Scorsese, thanks for calling in. Listen, we are done. We got to get out of here. I don't know. Matt, I seen you say if this were PBC fights, people would hate. I don't think that we're hating on Top Rank being on ESPN. That wasn't today's topic. We're hating on Top Rank blocking the good matchup.
That was directly in response to Alex Lemon in the chat. Because he was saying, like, there's a lot of hate on ESPN and the Top Rank deal and all that shit. I'm just saying that.
I don't think they're getting any hate. I mean,
I would say that as well. They're not getting nearly as much hate.
If PBC would have put a champion on as a title defense with a division below, forget about it, man.
Imagine Gervonta Davis versus Mariaga as a headliner on ESPN.
Anywhere right now.
That'd be the only fight on the card that's worth watching.
If that was on Showtime, if that was on Twitter, people would get mad at that. You know? It doesn't matter. Listen, what we got to all understand is that you're never going to satisfy every single fight fan. But having continuously to hear top-ranked fighters say, bet your purse or winner take all, it's becoming some sort of a trend, and we need to nip it in the bud is all I'm saying. Those are my final thoughts. Promoters, matchmakers, managers, advisors, don't let your fighters say things like this because, for one, as whatever title you hold in their life, you know, you would only be doing a good job if you don't allow them to bet their whole purse. And, you know, no fighter should go in there having to literally fight for his money. It should be guaranteed before getting in there, especially when you're going to challenge a multiple, you know, Olympic medal holder or winner, you know, gold at that. All the hype. I just don't get it. You know, it was more the same with Nonito. You know, I was going over Nonito's resume today because we got that email that Ringstar Promotions, a la Richard Schaefer, signed Nonito. And I'm like, man, he was good when he was small. When he was 112 and 115, he was the man. But when he started to gain weight, you know, people started to catch up to him. And, you know, I'm just looking at it like, wow, he's 34. He's still signing to Richard Schaefer. And he will be a tune-up for someone over there. For a Leo Santa Cruz, maybe after an Abner Mares rematch. You know, the loser gets Nonito as a tune-up. Or Frampton gets him as a tune-up, or Selsby gets him at a tune-up, or maybe somehow, some way, he comes back and does something good enough to earn. Because, you know, this guy hired, that's a bad choice of words, but he signed a couple of people in that division too. Not to say that Nonito will fight them so early in their careers, but, you know, Richard Schaefer's invested in the lower divisions for sure, but I'm rambling at this point. Listen, my name is Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTL. Follow me on Patreon at patreon.com/TheBoxingVoice. I'm going to be vlogging on my way to New York City, to Manhattan, to Sirius XM. I'm going to vlog inside the studios, and hopefully they'll let me put a camera in the actual booth amongst the little round table of writers as we discuss and debate Mikey Garcia versus Adrian Broner. And you know your boy is not going to let them try to get off the hook all easy. You know, we're going to push them to the limit for sure. Hit that thumbs up button if you would appreciate the show. Remember to drop us a 5-star review on iTunes if you appreciate the show. And if you want to support the show, remember to go to theboxingvoice.com/affiliate sponsors and use our Amazon link whenever you're shopping. It costs you absolutely nothing, but you get a small kickback so I can send Matt, you know, some money to buy nicotine oil for his pump or whatever that thing is that he uses over there, the vape machine, the Dark Vader, we call it around these parts.
And my final thoughts are that I want this fight to happen. I'm still doubtful it does happen. I think that fans need to really take a step back and not pick sides in these promoter wars or these manager wars or whatever. They're all the same. Realize that. They're all there to make their guy money and to make sure their guy has the best contract possible. And they're going to lie and scheme and deceive the public as much as they can to get that. And that's okay. That's the name of the game. That's prize fighting. That's why we're here. I'm Matt Dipster Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram, my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radios on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. I should be doing a show of that in the next couple hours. I'm also going to appear on another podcast that somebody invited me to that's going to be streamed on Facebook, the Loaded Joe's MMA podcast. I'm going to be on that tonight at 10 p.m. Pacific.
Oh, look at my co-host strutting his stuff. Oh, shit, he got a smile on his face. Peace, guys. Yeah, bye.